Good morning.
Morning.
In preparation for our study of the Word of God, it's time to make a voluntary shift in your mindset, if that's necessary. To prepare yourself for biblical study, you can ask yourself a very simple question. Where is my soul tuned? You can ask, what thought pattern am I allowing to influence me right now? Is your soul tuned to KCOS, the cosmic system of thought? Or is your soul tuned to WGOD, the divine system of thought? Your mental shift gives you an opportunity to tune your soul to biblical thought, which the Bible refers to as renewing. As you prepare to listen to the teaching of the Word of God, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And we are here to learn a kind of love that we don't have. Unconditional love. Luke chapter 6, verses 32 to 36 say this, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners, unbelievers, love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even unbelievers do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even unbelievers lend to unbelievers in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And we thank our God for His Word that gives us access to this powerful and freeing love that calms the disturbances in our souls. And as God prepares you for the renewing of your mind, with your permission, of course, you can take the next several minutes for reflection, fixing the eyes of your soul on the author and perfecter of your faith, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let's hear June Murphy prepare us for the study of the Word of God by worshiping our Lord in song. The song is, Father, I'm Yours.
For your very
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Teach us to love the truth. Teach us to hate the lies. Teach us to guard our souls with sobriety and alertness. Teach us to obey your will. Reward us with the peace that surpasses comprehension as we faithfully follow you, our faithful God. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Pastor Rory Clark, and you're listening to Lesson 419 of the Angelic Conflict Series. Welcome to a ministry designed for serious students of the Word of God. Today's study, the Creator's will is that you replace lies with truth. The Creator's will is that you replace lies with truth. Please stand. In gratitude for all who defend our freedom, and especially in gratitude for military victory from our frontline military personnel, and in honor of law enforcement officers all over the world, especially those in our own congregation, we recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. A few announcements. Mark your calendars. The next Lord's Supper celebration, February 10th, 2013. The Barah Ministries radio program is on KXXT, 1010 a.m. in Phoenix on Fridays, 4:30 to 5, rebroadcast at myfamilyvaluesradio.net. Click to listen and go down to G, and the program is called God Cares for You. And this week, the lesson in our evangelistic radio ministry is God Wants You to Be Saved. So be sure to give a listen. The lesson and the notes are on our website. Happy birthday to Jackson Abbott Desmet, who is 1 year old on January 24th. He is the son of Meredith Desmet, and that's Susie and Mike Embry's grandson and Dorothy's great-grandson. I just want to tell you guys this, and I'm not kind of bagging on him, although I don't mind bagging on a one-year-old because there's really nothing he can do about it. But if he ever says that word, that name, kind of like that, like, oh, my name is Jackson Abbott Desmet, you know, he's going to get beat up really bad. You know, that Jackson kind of is one of those names along the Jackson, Justin, you know, Jason, that line of kind of girlish names that's real popular. And so you got to be real careful. So kids that have the name Jackson, Justin, Jason, they need to be in karate. I just want to say that, right? Because, you know, if you're not going to give your kids a man name like Brad, right? Then right on, Brad, that's a man name, right? So all these kind of J names. So I just wanted to say that to Meredith, just to help her out a little bit. Put your kid in karate. Happy birthday to Heather Luttermoser, whose birthday is today. This is the 27th, right? Good. Yep. Member of our non-resident congregation. Temporary change of location. Mark your calendars. It's March 3rd. We'll be at the Hilton Chandler, 2929 West Fry Road in Chandler, Arizona. 85224. The phone number is 480-899-7400. I'm sure that is posted on the front page of the website in big letters so that everybody knows to not come here on that day. I know that's already there, right? Is that right? Yeah, okay. All right, cool. I was just checking. Don't be getting all choked up, Pastor. Because you got an attitude behind that. Hey, I know when to post it. You know, if you got an attitude behind it, that's all right. But, yeah, you know, I just want to make sure that you know that Jerry counts on that because he doesn't want to come to the wrong place. See, that's one of the things we got to get straight. See, when we're evangelizing to people. You know, we're posting stuff on the website. We're posting stuff on the website for people because people count on it, right? And so we could think that it's just some banner on a website. It's actually people. And see, I'm real funny about treating people well. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm talking about. Just trying to say. I don't know what you said, but I don't care. No Bible study, March 10th, April 21st, June 30th, December 8th, and December 29th. So get those on your calendar. But we're going to definitely make arrangements for those times so that you have some lessons to study. As a matter of fact, Mandy made a suggestion that that we all gather and listen to lessons here. And if you want to do that, we can make that available. So just let me know. And we'd be happy to set that up. I know that that sounds like a good idea. And if it works out, that's fantastic. Homecoming for the non-resident congregation, June 15 and 16. And all of you are to come home. So start booking your flights, please. And that's at a time in Phoenix where the hotels are kind of looking for business, so you should be able to get some great rates. Next, let's take the offering. Let's welcome up Deacon Caleb Allburn.
That gets worse every week. God provides Bible doctrine through His grace, and we hope to reflect His grace. Therefore, Barab Ministries is a grace ministry and functions entirely on generous donations. There is no charge for any Bible doctrine at BarabMinistries.com. Our website allows anyone, anywhere, to receive the Word of God free of charge. Gratitude for the Word of God inspires believers to give of their time, talent, and treasure. So, sometimes I make the mistake of asking the question, why? And sometimes I make the even greater mistake of asking people the question why. So some of the questions that I decided to ask this week, since I can tell you guys are so curious, are why do we come to church? Why do we study the Bible? Why do we spend so much time learning this stuff? And without being rude, and with no disrespect to anyone here, I am so tired of the answers I'm getting. They're all the same. They all stem from self. And to be honest, they're all kind of religious. It's always about growing as a believer, or about the rewards that you get in heaven and on earth. Or lots of the times it's always about, oh, well, that church, you know, they're not praying to God the Father, or any excuse that we use. It's always self-focused. It's never really about others. That really sickens me. It makes no sense to me at all. Quite frankly, if that's the Christian way of life, then I don't want it. We spend every Sunday morning learning the Word of God. We spend all week studying the Word of God. But how much time do we spend living the Word of God? I realized this past week one of the reasons why God has me up here doing the offerings. There's one resounding message every time I get up here, and that is to live the Word of God. That is to be a Christian. It has nothing to do with being a holy roller. It has nothing to do with pointing out everyone else's flaws. It has nothing to do with being a better person than everyone else. It has everything to do with taking advantage of all that God has given us. It has everything to do with thinking about others before thinking about ourselves. It has everything to do with living the Christian way of life. Think about it. Jesus perfectly demonstrated the Christian way of life. Did he live on earth for himself? No. God is others focused. We've all heard James chapter 1, verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. This isn't about works. This isn't about cleaning ourselves up. This is about not wasting our time studying this book. It doesn't make sense that we would study Life 101 for anything less than an A. So that's it. That's what God's challenging us to do. Can we just give a fraction of the grace that God's given us to others? So thank you, and please remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture, that each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver.
Today's study, the Creator's will is that you replace lies with the truth. The Creator's will is that you replace lies with the truth. Okay, Mandy, it's settled. Well, you made that suggestion last week that during the off weeks that the deacons give lessons, and according to you, I shot you down. No, you tell the congregation, what did I say? What did I say? Remind me. Because women are human tape recorders who remember shit that I said like 9 years ago. So tell me what I said. No, what did I say? No, tell me what I said. Remind me. Tell me now. I said something like there's no freaking way that they were going to do that. All right. Well, I'm man enough to say I was wrong, and we're going to take your suggestion. So the deacons can now consider it that there will be two lessons on those days, and Deacon Caleb and Deacon Denny will handle it whenever Deacon Elliot is not here. And if all three of them are here, there'll be three lessons on those days. And I think I definitely want to hear from them. And I think every time Deacon Caleb gives an offering, I want to hear more. And so I think that was a great suggestion that I handled poorly. Mandy? I can't get an amen when I talk about the Word of God. But all I got to say is I'm wrong. We get a big hand. Oh, that's great. Are you okay? Is your lung going to come up over there? Yeah. Doc?
You're making me look
All right, so that was a great suggestion, actually, and we're going to do that because these men are amazing men, and I think we should hear from them. All right, so today's study of the Creator's will is that you replace lies with the truth. Now, by the way, if you make me look bad while I'm gone, I'm killing y'all when I get back. That's it. With a handgun. You got to respect what's going on right here, right? Got to be some accuracy coming out of here. And I will hold you personally responsible for talking me into it, Mandy. Oh, yeah. No, there's responsibility when you put yourself on the line. Oh, yeah. All right. So anyway, let's get on with the lesson. So when you go into your spiritual closet and you find that some of the doctrinal coat hangers that you have chosen to hang there are false, what are you to do? See, God is clear in the matter of post-salvation sinning. So you have to monitor where your soul is tuned. And when your soul is tuned to the wrong channel, the Greek word that indicates what we are to do is metanoia. Metanoia. It means to change your mental attitude. It means to make a complete turnabout. Metanoia. Now, here is a verse that holds that word. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. I now rejoice. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians in his second letter. I now rejoice that you were made sorrowful by God, passive voice. I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful by God, but that you were made sorrowful by God to the point of repentance, metanoia, a change of mind, a complete reversal of your position. For you were made sorrowful by God, again, the passive voice, according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. Or how about this? Continuing, metanoia. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret. You change your mind without regret, leading you to deliverance, talking to believers here. But the sorrow of the world produces death, grave danger. Unfortunately, this word metanoia is translated repentance. It's one of the most abused words in divine history, and it is always connected to sin rather than to a change of your mind, a complete change of mind. And for this reason, I have come to hate the word. I have come to be prejudiced against the word. But I must lay my prejudice aside because in its proper use, repentance, metanoia, is the biblical solution to the post-salvation sin problem. It is also, by the way, the biblical solution to the pre-salvation sin problem. In 2 Peter 3:9, it is recommended, metanoia, that you change your mind about Christ. Right? Because pre-salvation, well, what are we doing? We're going from condemnation to salvation by how? Changing our mind about Christ. And now post-salvation, what are we doing? Changing our mind about where our soul is tuned, either to our revisit to death, KCOS, the cosmic system of thought, or shifting our mind to WGOD. See, Tom, I noticed you're reading the newspapers on the break, right? So that's the cosmic system inculcating your mind with all its nonsense and fears, right? You didn't know that, did you? That's KCOS. You didn't know that, did you? Do you know I don't even read newspapers?
I did not know that.
I don't listen to news either. You know why? Because I was in broadcasting. And it's the same 12 stories every week with a new subject matter. You're going to be carjacked by a black guy in the Bed Bath & Beyond parking lot. Somebody's going to break in your house and steal everything and kill all your family. There's war in the Middle East and it's never going to be solved. The president is right and everything. It's the same 12 stories. See, I broke your heart because you just, how much was that pay road? $1.50?
Good news, it was free.
Oh, good. You get it from out the hotel? Good. Because I want to save people some money. because it's all lies and misery. I heard a commercial the other day where this guy says that he was homeless and he took $2,000 and during the 8 weeks of the stock market parlayed that $2,000 into $4 million and he wants to help me. Or maybe it wasn't 8 weeks, maybe it was 8 months. And he parlayed it into $4 million and he wants to help me by giving me his book free of charge to so that I can do the same. Really? Really? And I mean, we hear this stuff every day. 15 minutes will save you 15% or more on car insurance. BS. BS. But it's a claim and we accept it. The iPhone will change your life. BS. And if it does, it's not going to be for the good. Right? But we accept all those lies. We're being lied to in every single realm. And let me tell you something. I am not a pessimistic guy. And this is a totally new thing for me. It was just a revelation one day that this was all going on. Because I used to just be just completely open to everything. But I don't think when you live in Satan's kingdom, you can let your soul be that open to every single message that you're hearing. Because a lot of the stuff is just crap. And knowing broadcasting as I do, I mean, Walter Cronkite, I knew him personally. And he was the definition of objectivity in broadcast. And if you go back and look at any of his broadcasts and you compare it to the broadcast today, there is no objectivity. There is no question. When you listen to a news broadcast today, you will absolutely know the opinion of the person who's delivering the news. That is the violation of the broadcast ethic to the nth degree, to the highest degree of violation of it. We were taught not to do that. And yet you can't turn on anywhere now where, because what they're saying is powerful. If they give their opinion that something is fraud, that becomes the opinion of the hearers. And they can be dead wrong, and it becomes the opinion of the hearers. Well, where your soul is tuned is a really big deal. And we need to come to understand that. In the matter of post-salvation sinning, God recommends that we stop it. And when we don't stop it, God recommends that we repent. That is, that we change our mind. From the carnal mentality to the spiritual mentality. That is, that we move completely in the opposite direction. That we turn that dial from KCOS completely to WGOD. Now, how does that work? God recommends that we adopt the mindset that is in 180-degree opposition to the one we used when we decided not to take his recommendations on how to handle a situation. Now, a lot of people think, they'll say 360. I made a 360. If you make a 360, you start here, 360 comes right back to the same point. It's not a 360. It's start here and go 180. Exactly opposite for all you geometry challenged people. Let's help you with that. So I found myself during my study really upset about a particular subject. And I was obsessing about it so much that I couldn't advance in my study. And so I just stopped and prayed about it. And here was the verse that started my prayer. It was Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Have this mindset in yourselves, believers in Christ, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I asked myself about the subject under question. Am I looking at this situation like Jesus Christ would look at this situation? Not what would Jesus do. What would Jesus think about this situation? And I noticed that at that moment, I was not thinking the way Jesus Christ would think about the situation. So I had my soul clearly tuned to KCOS. So what did I do? I prayed to my God and said, I know that you have stored in my soul the proper perspective on this situation. So please give it to me right now so that I can completely change my mind. And the verses, the doctrine started coming to my head, and I flipped the switch. And I was able to progress. Now, this is not the new rebound. This is an expression of our decision to reject the old self-life and its temptations, and to instead adopt the new self-life and its enablement. In post-salvation sinning, we don't lose the filling of the Holy Spirit and then regain the filling of the Holy Spirit. We always have the filling of the Holy Spirit. We sometimes choose to use its power, and we sometimes choose to reject its power. And during that bout, I was rejecting God the Holy Spirit's power and God the Holy Spirit's solution. Not at all unusual for Christians. But God the Holy Spirit doesn't go anywhere when we are committing post-salvation personal sins. In fact, if he did, we would be up Schmidt Creek without a paddle. And I think of all the stupid times when I have put myself in lousy positions in my life, dangerous positions, and how God has come through for me in protecting me every single time. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 37, verse 23. Psalm 37, verse 23. Ah, there it is. Psalm 37. You know, if you really, my mom was world, she used to live on Psalm 37. And if you really want some powerful messages, this is a place to get it. Don't fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Notice that. Don't do this, do this. Trust in the Lord and do divine good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. That means make love to the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off. Those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees his day coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and bent their bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct, and their sword will enter their own heart, and their bows will be broken. Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked, for the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, that's believers, and their inheritance will be forever. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil, and in the days of famine they will have abundance. You need to read and read and read and read and read that every day. And remind yourself so that every time you start reading the news and every time you start listening to the news, and you start getting scared and you start fretting over, oh, the country's going to hell. Oh, my God, everything's so bad. Pull out Psalm 37 and look at the end of the movie. Don't look at the middle of the movie. Look at the end of the movie. This is the end of the movie. There are those who are perpetrating the crap, and there's you believers in Christ. And this is what the end of the movie is. And this is being told to you by a guy who has never failed ever and will never fail in the future. So, I think of all the stupid situations I've put myself in. And this psalm, I want you to look at a few parts of it. Look at verse 23. It says, "The steps of a man who is a believer in Christ are established by the Lord." That's called our Christian walk. He creates divine good works that we can walk in them. And he, the Lord, delights in his believer's path. Verse 24, Oh, there's that thing. I forgot to do that. I know Miss Donna is going to yell at me for not taking care of this, but okay, Miss Donna, you can yell at me. All right, we'll go back where we were. It didn't. I hate when that happens. Hang on. Yeah, where are we? There we are. Psalm 37:24. When the believer in Christ falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. And I, King David, have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous, that's believers in Christ, forsaken, or his descendants begging bread. When we change our minds, we are expressing our desire to live the new self life. Regarding the new self life, what is it? And what does the Bible say it looks like when I'm doing it? Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And when we come back from the break, we'll investigate this passage. Ephesians chapter 4. Take a 5-minute break. Thank you. welcome back. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 4. I like to think of the new self life as that life we are living for all the moments that we are being an exact reflection of our God. I like to think of the new self life as that life we are living for all the moments where we are being an exact reflection of our God. Let's begin at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you, believers in Christ, to walk, that is, to have a lifestyle that is in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Oh, I didn't fix that, Jamie. You told me to fix that. That Ephesians 4, 1 to 3. I had that, I didn't fix that. Anyway, that was Ephesians 4, 1, 4, 2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in unconditional love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's a pretty powerful bunch of things. I want to read it again. Look at that. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you, believers in Christ, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Walk, let your life reflect the power of the invitation to which you have been invited. That's what that says in essence. How do you do that? With all humility. What is humility? Teachability. Be teachable. Be gentle with each other. Be patient with each other. Show tolerance for one another and unconditional love. And Ephesians 4, 3, and be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's really powerful. See, thinking is reflected in conduct. And when we're occupied with the mind of Christ, when our soul is tuned to WGOD, when our soul is tuned to God's Word, it will show. And verses 2 and 3 say the ways that it will show. When we're operating as Christ would have us operate, we're not requiring anything of others. That's what unconditional love is. And instead, we are gladly accepting what they're willing to give, and we're gladly accepting when they are not willing to give. And that is a lot more our situation with those who are close to us. It's a lot more our situation that there are things that they are not willing to do for us. There are things that they are not willing to give, and then there's some things that they are. And what really shows the dramatic difference in the Christian way of life is how we handle those times when people in our lives aren't giving us what we want them to give us. Amen? Amen. See, that's what makes the Christian way. Because, I'm going to treat you good when you treat me good. I'm going to treat you bad when you treat me bad. What's special about that? That's not the Christian way of life, and that's not unconditional love. So we get ourselves all wrapped up in that. Now, as you hear this, don't point fingers in your soul. Don't, as you think about verses 2 and 3, don't think about how others are with you. Oh, yeah, I got a person in my life who's not humble, who's not patient, who's not gentle with me. Don't think about that. Think about how you are with others. And if you are missing the mark, you change your mind because you're the only one who can change you. Only you can do it. Look at verse 14. Ephesians 4, verse 14. Here's what it says. It says, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine and by the trickery of men and by craftiness and deceitful scheming. In other words, we have to grow up. We have to realize that there is really deception out there. That when the Bible says that Satan deceives the whole world, he's serious. And that doesn't apply to the people out there, those poor people who are in bed today and who aren't as good as we are for being here. It applies to you right this minute. Verse 17. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk, that you have a lifestyle, no longer just as the Gentiles walk, no longer as unbelievers also walk, in the futility of their mind. See, that's the unbeliever. The unbeliever doesn't have a human spirit, doesn't have a spiritual life, so what is their whole life approach? Intellectualism. Intellect. And they want to grow in knowledge and grow in knowledge and grow in knowledge. I was reading that, reading a commentary that was written by a guy who was obviously an intellectual on 1 John, the first letter of John, 1 John and specifically chapter 1. And it drove me absolutely out of my mind because it was just a bunch of intellectual garbage where he was trying to prove how smart he was, but was given no insight to what the passage was saying and absolutely blatantly missing some things that you shouldn't miss if you're a scholar. And I have to sort through that crap. That's not life, and that's not the Christian life. Life isn't us walking around with this smug feeling about how smart and how wonderful we are. That's just us building our own little kingdom. But that kingdom's going to crumble when you're standing face to face with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he's going to ask you, what did you do with this gift I gave you? Who did you make a difference to? And that's what Deacon Caleb was saying. All this self-focused crap that we engage in. But who are we bringing in here so that we can tell them about this God that we say we love so much? Who are we bringing in here to lead them gently and humbly and patiently toward a relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? That's really the issue of our Christianity. It's not closet Christianity. It's not check-the-box Christianity. It's not comatose Christianity. It's alive and powerful and sharp and piercing Christianity. Unbelievers are confused. Believers are not. Our lifestyle is nothing like theirs, and our lifestyle must reflect a 180-degree apposition to their lifestyle. But unfortunately, we as believers in Christ admire their lifestyle, and we often imitate it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, the Zoe life, because of their ignorance that is in them, because of their hardness of heart. What is that? That's unbelievers. What are they doing? They're darkened in their understanding. They have an intellectual understanding of life, but they don't have a real understanding of life. Think about how smart Aristotle was. He was amazing. He was an amazing philosopher, and the best it ever got for him was, there's an unmoved mover. Yeah, Aristotle, you got to say that this design demands that there is a designer. And he had to come up with a new name for it so he could be so intellectual, the unmoved mover. But he's in the lake of fire today. He's in torments today with that intellectualism because he never found out or never acknowledged that that unmoved mover was Christ. They darkened in their understanding. And therefore, because of that, because that's exactly where they want to be, excluded from the Zoe life, the resurrection life, the most amazing life ever invented. Because of the ignorance that's in them. What is it? The lack of knowledge of that key thing, Christ. And because of the hardness of their heart. When people try to bring them to the truth, they let their ego and the intellectualism get in the way. Why? Why?
Pride.
Huh?
Pride.
Pride. You know, don't get me wrong. I've been in those places. Don't get me wrong. I've had a hard heart. Don't get me wrong. I've been an intellectual. Don't get me wrong. But you got to get off it. Just at a point, you got to get off it. You got to get off it. Ephesians 4:19, and they, having become callous, and that's what happens over time. And by the way, this is where that scar tissue and the soul crap came from. But who is this talking about? Believers or unbelievers? Unbelievers. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. This lifestyle appears fun on the surface, but over time it engineers all of the passion out of you and leaves you on the curb with a bill. And often the bill is your life. Callousness is death. Look at verse 22. In reference to your former manner of life, that you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. What does this say? Stop listening to the old self, believers. Repent, change your mind, verse 24, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, put the lies aside, take the lie coat hangers out of your spiritual closet, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Unity. Christ is the cornerstone of our building, and each one of us is a stone. This ministry, Barah Ministries, cannot succeed without all of the stones coming together and doing their part. Verse 26, Ephesians 4. Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Verse 27. And do not give the devil a topon, a room in your soul. Ask God to evict the devil from your soul. Ask God to evict the devil from all the rooms that you've given him in your soul. Verse 28, he who steals must steal no longer. See this standard of conduct that we're to live? We don't reflect the lifestyle of stealing, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. I'll tell you how this shows up. I was getting a traveler's check cashed in Mexico, and the guy gave me $40 too much. Now, he wasn't paying attention. And so he counted it out, and he counted it out, and it was wrong, and I saw it clearly. And believe me, $40 is a lot of breakfast in Mexico, right? Because Mexico breakfast is about $3, so you divide 3 into 40, that's about 2 weeks worth of breakfast. Amen? And I am black. Amen? I'm a brother. I'm from the hood. I see $40. I'm thinking, he don't even know. He didn't have any records. I'm watching, right? So I said, let's count this out again. Bump, 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 bump. 100. Wow, there's a whole lot left over. I wonder what that is. He had this sheepish look on his face, snatches it out of my hand. I said, no, wait a minute. Give me that. You just be snatching money out of my hand. You got some. Get down on your knees. He said, what for? I said, I want you to look up to the sky and talk to the Lord and say, you know, Jesus, I was about to have a $40 shortfall up in my cash register, but you have sent me an angel from God. I'm loud talking to him. Everybody's looking. Everybody is cracking up. This guy is on his knees. And I'm looking at him. I said, come on, get up, man. Here, it's $40. You caught it wrong. Amen? You feeling me on that? He said, yeah, thanks, man. I said, nothing. It's nothing. I don't want you to be $40 short. You just better remember this when you're handing out free breakfasts next time or something. Remember the brother who gave you the $40 back. But, you know, I mean, why would I want to take that money? What's that going to do for me? It's temporary. That's not it. And so I was being funny with him. I was making fun of him. The whole bit. But the whole point is, he'll remember that forever, that not everybody takes advantage of you when you make a mistake. That's the Christian way of life. That's the Christian way of life. It's got to show up as 180 degree different than its opposite. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And this does not mean, by the way, that correction isn't edification, because it is. And it is necessary on some occasions, so don't mistake the Bible's content. Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, don't commit personal sins. By whom you were sealed, the sealing ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, for the day of redemption. Stop sinning, in other words. You can choose not to sin, even if you aren't sinless. Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. This is what you're doing when you're tuned to KCOS. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. So we're going to continue our look at this 180-degree shift that the new self-life represents when we continue our lessons next week. But let me ask you this. Just seeing that much in Ephesians chapter 4, is it clear that the New Testament is all over it about what you must do post-salvation. Stop doing this. Start doing this. It's so clear, and it's all over the place. You want to do a little reading on your own? Romans 6, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, Ephesians 5. It's all over the place. And that's the minimum. The whole book of Galatians. I mean, it's all over the place. That God is crystal clear what he wants us to do. Well, let's welcome up Deacon Elliot Clark to close us out and to share the good news to unbelievers concerning what the Lord Jesus Christ did for them at the cross. Welcome him up.
So the closing moments of our biblical study today are dedicated to anyone who is without a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore is without eternal life. The Bible says in 1 Titus, right? That's Timothy. 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 4. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who desires all men to be saved. But according to the word of God, you were born condemned. You are considered to, by God to be a sinner, physically alive, but spiritually dead. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:22, "For as a result of being in union with Adam at physical birth, all mankind are set to die the second death." God offers a relationship with you, with him, while you are condemned. Romans 5:8 says, "But God the Father demonstrates his own unconditional love toward us, and that we are yet sinners, spiritually dead unbelievers, Christ died as a substitute for us." While you are in a pathetic state of spiritual death, a just, righteous, and loving God extended his righteous right hand to offer you salvation. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes." A relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is a way set to salvation because Jesus Christ is God. John 14:6 says, "The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me." God loves his imperfect creatures with a perfect love, a love willing to do everything to provide you with salvation except to force you to believe. You have free will and God honors it. You can choose to be saved or you can choose to remain condemned. How do you become saved? It's a private decision. It's a one-time decision that only you can make. You have a choice. The Bible says in John 3:36, "He, anyone who believes in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has eternal life. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will not see the eternal life, but the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him." Salvation is a free gift, and you cannot save yourself. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by efficacious grace you have been saved through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, and that grace and faith and salvation is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Your soul can express faith, not blindly, but after examination of God's reconciliation offer. And that faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone will be your ticket to eternal life. Acts 4:12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven by which has been given among men by which we must be saved, except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." A short conversation with God results in your salvation. Faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone is the way to be born again and saved. For a thief being crucified next to the Lord Jesus Christ, it was just 9 words. Luke chapter 23, verses 42 through 43 say, "And he, one of the thieves on the cross next to Jesus, was saying, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, said to him, the repentant thief, 'Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise.'" Nothing is easier than salvation. It's easy for you because it was hard for the Lord Jesus Christ when he laid down his life for you at the cross. Once you have salvation, you cannot lose it. John 10:28 says, "And I give eternal life to them, believers in Christ, and they, believers in Christ, will never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. Religion encourages you to work for salvation, to obsess about your sins, to reject Christ's work at the cross on your behalf, and to reject the free gift of the reconciliation offered by the Lord Jesus Christ. There are consequences of a do-it-yourself program. Revelations 20, verse 15 says, "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life at the last judgment, he was thrown into the lake of fire." And if you are still in a state of condemnation at your physical death because you rejected the reconciliation offered of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will, by your choice, spend eternity in the lake of fire. On the other hand, you can spend eternity in relationship with the one and only eternal God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what is your choice? The closing song is "Whosoever." I realize I asked if it was 1 Titus or 1 Timothy. Titus didn't even have multiple chapters, so I apologize for that false doctrine. So, closing verses, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare, not for your calamity, to give you a future and a hope. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Judges 1, chapter 1, verses 24 through 25. Now to him who was able to keep you from stumbling, and to keep you and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. To the only one our God, be Savior. To the only one our God, Savior. Make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority, before all time and now and forever. Closing prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to come together and to learn your word. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit and keep on continuing to make them an accurate reflection of your person and your thinking and your work and your reputation and your essence. We ask all this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen.